south of the border.
Hi, everybody. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you what it's really like to live, work, play, and or retire in Latin America. I tell it just like it is, not the version they give you in those glossy travel magazines, or the picture they paint for you in those international traveler websites, where they're only trying to sell you something. What's it really like for expats living in Latin America? Well, if you stick around a while, you'll find out. So, let's get started.
She was a picture in old Spanish lace.
Well, last time I was cut off short for time, talking about expat Eddie's girlfriend's brother, the snaky-looking skinhead guy with the lip stud who's been pestering Eddie for a job at one of his sushi restaurants. And Eddie had already made it clear to him that with his skinhead and his face piercings, he would not be a good image for the restaurant at the front desk. He'd scare away all of Eddie's older lady customers for sure. Then you might remember that Eddie said he'd hire the guy as a driver, knowing the guy didn't have a driver's license. Then, to Eddie's surprise, he came back a week later and shoved a driver's license in Eddie's face. Now Eddie was stuck. He had to hire the guy because, like Eddie's girlfriend says, her brother has a very mean temper, and when he doesn't get his way, he can get violent. Now, normally that's not the kind of guy you want to work for you, but Eddie was stuck because he promised. So Eddie, lost for an answer, called me. He thought, well, two heads are better than one. And like me and Eddie discussed over drinks, Eddie had barreled headfirst into one of the unspoken problems that often confronts expats with Latina wives and girlfriends. They always, and I mean always, have these big extended families who look at you like the rich gringo, Mr. Moneybags, especially if you got a business going. Obviously, there is that stereotype, and you can't get around it, because you still live like a first world person down here, and they don't. They, of course, live like middle class Latins, which is our equivalent of the first world working poor. And that's why, through experience, we've learned that it's not good to have any kind of get-togethers or parties at our own houses, Christmas, birthday parties and such, for example. Because when you find it necessary to invite your Latina wife or girlfriends, extended family and relatives, you're just reinforcing the fact that you're infinitely better off economically than they are. So if you do have them over, you're asking for trouble. And it's not that they're jealous or resent the fact at all. They're genuinely as nice as they can be. However, knowing that you've got so much more than they have, like Eddie says, being the godfather comes at a price. For example, Eddie's been very tight with his girlfriend for about a year and a half now. Eddie told me that after he'd been going out with her about a half a year, she said to him that her dad wanted to have a serious talk with him. Because, you see, as it turns out, in Latin America, there's still that traditional age-old concept that practically doesn't exist anymore in the States at all, where the guy has to have a sit-down powwow with his girlfriend's dad to make his good and honorable intentions known. Just like in those white-bread Hollywood films of the 40s and 50s, you had to get daddy's approval to get serious with his daughter. And that's exactly what happened to Eddie about a half a year into dating his present girlfriend. He had that solemn sit-down meeting with her dad because her dad expected it. Now, when Eddie had his sit-down, his girlfriend's father asked him, of course, if his intentions were honorable. That is, did he plan on eventually marrying his daughter? And, of course, in that moment, a guy just has to say yes to the father, even if it's a bold-faced lie. He's got no other choice, really, or the meeting's over. Now, Eddie knew this question was coming because it's the common question every Latin American father asks during these sit-downs. But it's not the only question. The next question was, what religion are you, Eddie? You should know that Eddie and I have had long talks about this question and what to say in Latin America when it does come up. Now me, I was brought up Catholic, went to Catholic school, and gave it up permanently after I got too big for my dad to whoop me and my parents to ground me. And Eddie was a non-practicing Lutheran. But nowadays, both of us agree on one thing. If you take a sliding scale from 0 to 10, and 0 is absolute belief in God, and if you're a 10 on that scale, you're an absolute atheist, well, Eddie and I both agree that we're both about 9s on that scale. Very, very close to being complete non-believers, but not so arrogant to think that we know it all. Actually, being a 9 on that scale puts us in pretty good company. Like, for example, Carl Sagan, Einstein, Stephen Hawking, W.C. Fields, and both Marxes, Karl and Groucho. Anyway, that's nothing you could ever tell the father of your girlfriend down here in Latin America, or practically any Latin person for that matter. if you were to announce that you're an atheist or close to it, well, it's not that you'd be persona non grata in the house. It's just that you set the wheels in motion to undermine yourself behind the scenes, since these Latin families are so damn Christian. And the hypocrisy of it really does make us long-term expats laugh. And we don't get why they don't see it themselves. In fact, they wrote the book on it. And by that I mean the men, of course. The women are basically a different story altogether. Not one-tenth as hypocritical as the men are. Let me explain that a bit. Now, when Eddie had that sit-down meeting with his girlfriend's father, he asked Eddie what religion the kids were going to be brought up in, Catholic or Lutheran. Now, of course, Eddie did the right thing when he lied and told his girlfriend's dad that he was a Lutheran, even though Eddie hadn't been in church or even said a prayer since he was maybe 8 years old. Anyway, in that conversation, Eddie remembers promising the guy that he was going to bring up the kids Catholic. He figured that would play the best because his girlfriend's whole family were practicing Catholics. At least the women folk were. Now, here's the thing about Latin American religious hypocrisy. During this sit-down with his girlfriend's dad, and all that talk about bringing your kids up Catholic, all the while, Eddie was thinking about what his girlfriend had told him about her dad. That she had a couple of half-sisters in another town that she only just found out about not long ago. It seems that her dad had fathered a couple of kids with two other different women while he was married to her mom. And this is the guy grilling Eddie about religion. And you know, when Eddie's girlfriend told him about the philanderings of her dad, he just couldn't believe that her mother would stay with the guy. Until Eddie's girlfriend explained what it was like for married women with children in Latin America. It turns out almost all classes of Latin guys, except the upper classes, almost never divorce their wives. Instead, they just have affairs. And when the wife finds out, and it seems she always does, or at least has a good idea it's going on, she will almost never file divorce unless she has a man of her own waiting in the wings that'll marry her. Because she knows if she's not married and ends up as a single mom head of the household, she can almost never make ends meet on what women make down here in Latin America, that $250 to $350 a month. Because you see, if you're a single middle-class woman with kids and you have to go to work every day, who's going to take care of those kids during the day while you're out at work? Because you see, when you have a husband and he goes to work every day, the woman can generally manage to work a little bit herself and still take care of the kids. Whereas divorced Latin mothers always end up with the kids, and the husband almost never pays child support because there's basically no mechanism to force him to do it. So the single woman and her children slip even lower economically. And that's why so few of them will divorce their husbands, even when they catch them red-handed cheating, even if other children from his philanderings show up. Strictly speaking, it's a very sad situation because it's so damn common. Saddest for the women married to these guys, of course. But as you can see, in this macho Latin society, men do have the upper hand in so many ways. They have their affairs and the women just keep taking them back. Nearly all the time, it's an economic decision. The loss of faith and trust has nothing to do with it. Anyway, in the end, Eddie found out that there's three things you never want to tell the family of the girl that you're dating. One is that you're an atheist or the closest thing to it. Number two, that you never want to have kids. Even though it's probably the very reason that her own family just can't seem to get ahead and never will because there's just not enough money and too many mouths to feed. And why is that, you might ask? Well, of course, it's because of that Catholic thing, you know, the Pope's lunatic ban on contraceptives and all that. But there also is practically no such thing down here in Latin America as Planned Parenthood. Now, we all know the statistics. The more educated a society is, the fewer children they have. It's always like that in every society. So even without the Pope sticking his big nose into everyone's bedroom business, it's a fact that Latin American society is quite undereducated compared to the first world, thus more kids. And you know, I do talk about a wealthy, educated class down here in Latin America, but that's only about 2 or 3% of the population, which is the same percentage of adults who have college degrees, about 2 to 3%. Whereas about 30% of adult Americans have college degrees. It's just a massive difference. Latin America and the United States are worlds apart. And here's some statistics that are pretty shocking. In Latin America, the average level of education for adults who are working on the books and paying taxes is an eighth grade education. and the average educational level for people working for cash, off the books, is 6th grade. And the average educational level for people working in the agricultural sector is only 5th grade. And that, my friends, is a huge reason why people have too many babies. Down here, the common people say having sex is one of the few pleasures in life that's free. Man, they couldn't be more wrong about that. Little do they realize what kind of life of suffering and sacrifice they've created for themselves when they have too many kids. Oh, and by the way, speaking of ironies and hypocrisies, Eddie has one more thing to say about his girlfriend's father. Not to say that Eddie dislikes his probably future father-in-law. It's just that he's a typical 100% macho Latin guy. Now, Eddie's been invited by this guy multiple times to come on over to his house on any Monday night. It's a standing invitation that Eddie never accepts. Now, every Monday night, Eddie's girlfriend's father opens up his living room to all the neighborhood guys. They don't come over to get drunk and womanized. They save that for the other nights. Instead, they have a prayer meeting, a vigil, where they light candles and sing and recite Bible passages and all that. Now, Eddie, as much as he wants to remain in good standing with that family, he'll never go that far. He'll lie about being a good Christian or even believing in God, and he'll lie when he tells the parents he actually wants kids, which definitely means he's lying about bringing the kids up Catholic, too, since there won't be any. The fact is, Eddie's not going to sit in a room full of hypocrite holy rollers when he could be watching Monday Night Football. And yes, speaking of Monday Night Football, down here in Latin America, you get all 300 to 500 cable TV stations anywhere in any Latin American country, except maybe Cuba. And you know what I pay for my basic cable? $12 a month. And I have a satellite dish because I'm way out in the boonies. And my satellite installation, a one-time cost, was only $30. Now, of course, I only have basic cable. But if you want all the bells, buzzers, and whistles, the whole ball of wax and all the U.S. stations, it might cost you $40 a month. Just thought I'd give you another heads up on the ridiculously low cost of living down here. Oh, and by the way, here's another thing you should know about middle-class Latin American households. Eddie can verify this too, and I've seen it for myself. It turns out, no matter how rotten the dad is, the head of the family, whether he's a drunk or a wife beater, a womanizer, or all three, and a lot of them are all three, believe me. Anyway, come Sunday, all the women in a family just have to go to church. It's a requirement if they live under his roof. Of course, he and the boys, the sons of the family, don't have to go, but sometimes they go too, especially the young ones. And the teenage boys will often go just to look at the girls, because that's when the girls really doll themselves up. For teenage girls and young women, church is for dressing up. Now, I'm not saying that dad is forcing these ladies to go. It seems they really do want to go, not because they necessarily like it, but because of that drummed-in Catholic upbringing, they feel really guilty if they don't. In fact, Eddie's girlfriend still goes to church sometimes on her own, though she knows better than to ask Eddie to go along. Oh, and here's another thing I might mention. It's never a good thing if you're just starting to date a girl that you like. It's never good to tell her that you're an atheist, or even an 8 or a 9 on that sliding scale I was talking about. Because you see, that religion thing has been so instilled in the minds of Latin people that it almost seems, in the beginning anyway when you're dating, that a woman would prefer to have a pious boyfriend who goes to church every Sunday but has a weakness for drugs or booze or alcohol or cheating once in a while, than to have an atheist boyfriend like Eddie, who's a totally nice guy and honorable and faithful in almost every other way. And I know how irrational that sounds, but that's just the way things are down here. So again, wait till you've gone out with a girl quite a number of times and you've established a pretty solid relationship before you lay on something that's shocking to their sensibilities, like, for example, you're an atheist or you've had a vasectomy, both of which could be early relationship deal killers down here. Now, here's the thing, and I've heard this from a number of gringo expats, too. After they tell their girlfriends something a little bit softer, like, for example, they don't believe in organized religion, so they're not going to go to church, Latin women always seem to accept that line pretty well. But don't be surprised if they don't try to drag you to church anyway. It's just so instilled in the culture that they're going to hit you with the church thing like the Chinese water torture. It almost never goes away, believe me. And even if you vow to her that you're never going to step foot in a church, I guarantee it you're going to have to break that promise. Because with all the communions and confirmations and weddings and quince años parties, they all start off as some kind of a deal in a church. And since these Latins and their extended families are quite big, You're going to get invited to these things all the time. Now, I should explain to you about these big production 15 años parties. And that's that big blowout party that happens when a girl turns 15. Super traditional down here. And it's only for girls. Guys don't get that honor. These 15 años parties kind of remind me of a kid's bar mitzvah. It's a really huge event, and families spend a lot of money on them, even money they don't have. And sometimes they're as big as a wedding. And the girls dress up in very formal, frilly, expensive dresses that look like wedding gowns almost. And when the family doesn't have much money, which is the usual case, they still have this event at someone's house, and they hire a DJ, and the parents still take loans and go into debt over these things. Because you see, it's kind of a measure of your family's status, just how big a 15 años party you can throw. And even the wealthier families go into debt on these things. But of course, they go all out and rent halls and bands, and have expensive sit-down dinners at Hiltons and Hyatts. And a lot of times these 15 años parties can be bigger and much more expensive than the actual wedding the girl has some years later when she finally ties the knot. Now, I've been invited to a lot of these things myself, and they're beyond boring, believe me. And there's a real fine line you have to tread if you're a gringo and you hate going to these things. If you back off from these events altogether, it'll definitely put your wife or girlfriend in a bad mood, because she's the one who's going to have to face the family and the 100 questions when they ask, why isn't your boyfriend or husband here? Because, like I've said many times before, to have a gringo at one of these parties or events is a feather in the cap of the person putting it on. It's all part of that gringo advantage thing, which means a lot more disappointment for those putting on that party when you don't show up, especially if you make a practice out of being absent. In that case, it's your wife or girlfriend who's going to take the hit for you, and she's going to be pretty sad about it. And remember this, if you do end up marrying a Latina and having a kid, your kid's going to be involved in a lot of those kind of events too, and he's going to star in a few of them, and of course, you'll be the one paying for it. Now, personally, I hate going to these things, which has put me in a lot of hot water with my Latin girlfriends over the years, and Eddie and a lot of our expat friends are in the same boat. And what usually happens is, in time, you give in and you start going to these things. But you never really like it. In the end, you're just doing it to keep the peace. But thankfully, when you're off the tourist trail, you've always got the gringo advantage going for you. So if you ever really end up pissing off some of the relatives by not showing up to a big event, they always end up forgiving you faster than they would anyone else, simply because you're a gringo. And gringos, as they know, have a whole different set of cultures and habits. Now, weddings and funerals and Christmas parties and stuff are one thing, but those 15 años parties are basically unbearable. I mean, 3/4 of the people that are there are 15 and 16-year-old kids running around giggling and dancing to a DJ playing the hits that 15 and 16-year-old girls love. And of course, everybody's on the dance floor, and everyone wants to dance with the gringo, even though the gringo can't dance. But that's all right with them because they're very forgiving. But it's not all right with you because you feel like a doofus. I mean, let's face it, you're off the tourist trail, so you're going to be the only gringo at that party. And you're going to get a little extra attention from everyone. So when you are on that dance floor, all eyes are going to be on you. You can be sure of that. And there's no worse feeling in the world when everybody's looking at you and every 5-year-old kid in the room is dancing circles around you. In fact, Eddie tells me that's exactly the reason he doesn't go to those parties, because he dances even worse than the average gringo with 2 left feet. He's done that way too many times and doesn't want to go through that again, especially since everyone's got cameras these days and they've caught Eddie on film dancing. Talk about America's funniest videos. I guess I should be smart and drop the whole thing right now in case Eddie's listening. Now, let me get back to that man-to-man meeting Eddie had with his future so-called father-in-law. Well, like I said, Eddie did lie to him. He had to. And of course, the guy bought it. Why wouldn't he? He wants a gringo in the family just like every other middle-class Latin family does. Gringos, by virtue of the gringo advantage, bring the kind of prestige to any Latin family that money just can't buy. Well, I take that back. Maybe it can. Since, as Eddie told me, right after he had that man-to-man talk, his girlfriend's father asked Eddie if he could borrow $600. And of course, after all that man-to-man stuff and the embarrassment of it, Eddie just gave him the money and said, "Don't worry, pay me back when you can." And that's one of the other small problems every expat encounters after he starts dating or even marries a Latin American girl. All the males in the family start coming out of the woodwork asking for jobs and loans. And it doesn't matter if your girlfriend or wife is from a poor, middle-class, or upper-class family. People will still come out of the woodwork and try to hit you up for loans. In fact, you'd think that the wealthier Latin families wouldn't be doing that because they do have money. But some years back when Eddie was young and stupid, when he was going out with a high-maintenance Latin girl, whose father was a very well-known architect. Anyway, the girl's brother, who had a seemingly successful advertising business in a very nice, expensive section of town with a beautiful office, well, one day he called Eddie out of the blue and asked him out to lunch. But what it really was all about was the fact that the guy wanted to borrow $20,000 from Eddie because he said he had a bunch of clients that weren't paying their bills on time and he was running really short. And then, of course, Eddie said logically, well, you know, your dad's rich. Why don't you hit him up for it? And the guy answered a little sheepishly that he didn't want his dad to know about it. He didn't want his dad to think he was a bad businessman or even a loser, since Poppy was the one that set his son up in business. Now, the kid didn't want to appear like a doofus, so instead of hitting his dad up, he runs to Eddie. Now, this is the typical case of the entitled rich kid, and Eddie saw it firsthand with his own eyes. This kid did not like to work, and he didn't like to get up before 9 in the morning either. But he had a beautiful apartment with all the toys, which his daddy paid for, of course. And now he was like 24 years old and had to get a real job. His dad was putting pressure on him to succeed by himself. This kid's dad did everything for his only son, the golden boy of the family. He even supplied his son with his first string of clients, too, since his dad was an important architect with a lot of people beholden to him. His dad set him up in that advertising business since advertising and marketing was the degree he was supposed to get at Texas A&M. Of course, he was never motivated enough to actually finish. He just liked to hang around and party with the gringos. So now he'd had this advertising company for a year or so and had totally screwed up the accounts, and now he wanted Eddie to bail him out. And Eddie, at the time, got out of it simply because his romantic relationship with the brother's equally spoiled sister, the high-maintenance girlfriend I told you about, it was about at an end. They were breaking up. So Eddie just kind of walked away from that one without giving the kid a definite answer. So the bottom line is that it doesn't matter if you marry or date a Latina from whatever class, lower, middle, upper, or very wealthy. You are, in their eyes, the rich gringo, and there are some family members that will come out of the woodwork and try to hit you up for loans. Now, I have to say that almost all of us long-term expats have been hit up so many times down here that we have a pretty hard line when it comes to people asking us for loans these days. And Eddie, who's a lot softer touch than I am when it comes to loans, he has a great way of handling guys these days who try to hit him up. And I can't remember which one of us actually thought of it or if we heard it from some other expat. But here's what Eddie does. He has a little piece of paper in his wallet with five names on it, each one of those persons being a guy that he lent money to that never paid him back. Mostly, of course, small amounts to us, like anywhere from $200 to $800. Nothing that'll break the bank. But nevertheless, these were loans that never got paid back. So nowadays, when someone asks Eddie for a loan, he pulls out that piece of paper and he says, okay, here's what I'll do. Here's a list of five guys that owe me money and haven't paid me back. I'll let you have this list with their phone numbers and addresses. Go ahead and contact these guys. And if you can get the money out of them, you can have it free and clear. You don't even have to pay me back. And then he tells them that's his experience with lending people money. And of course, as you probably well know, anyone that comes up to you and asks to borrow money will swear on his mother's grave that he's going to pay you back and on time. People always have the best intentions, but as time passes, things change, right? Anyway, when Eddie hands a would-be borrower his list of those five creditors that haven't paid him, it's like throwing a bucket of cold water on a guy that's trying to borrow money. He gets the point right away, and there's usually no more said about it. In fact, it works like a charm. Oh, and by the way, like in the case of Eddie's girlfriend's father who wanted to borrow that $600, that, in fact, is just not a normal borrower's request. Normally, you get requests here and there for people wanting to borrow $25 or $50, but $600, that's way on the high end. In fact, only once in 20 years has someone tried to borrow an amount that high from me. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not a high amount to us, but to the Latin guy who's trying to hit you up for the loan, it's a super high amount, Because think of it, if the average guy is making $300 or $400 a month, that's 2 months' salary for him, right? Now, let's relate that back to if we were in the first world. 2 months' salary in the first world is probably more like $8,000, since the average household income in the States is just slightly under $50,000 these days. So imagine someone coming up to you in the States trying to borrow $8,000 from you. Well, to most of us, that would just be a totally unreasonable request, unless maybe it was a life and death situation. So anyway, down here, if someone's going to borrow $600 from you, for them, that's a pretty big deal. And you're probably wondering, did Eddie get that money back? Yep, he got the money back all right, but months and months after the guy promised to pay him. And in the meantime, Eddie found out that his girlfriend's dad's been hitting her up for loans, more like $100 here and $50 there. That kind of thing really pisses Eddie off because he realizes her father is only hitting her up because he knows when she's short on cash, Eddie always fills in the gaps. And Eddie does not like the idea that he gives his girlfriend money and she lends it to her dad. Because really, in effect, it's like the guy's borrowing the money from Eddie indirectly. He's taking advantage of his own daughter and Eddie, which only reinforces what all us expats begin to understand after some time. As a rule, you just can't trust these Latin guys. They lie. They're not at all good for their word. They're drinkers, they're womanizers, and they're hypocrites. Of course, not 100% of them, though I'd have to say it's way up there. Whereas the women are a completely different story. Almost all of them, except the wealthy ones, are sheltered and protected at home all their lives, until they finally get married and get out of the house. Eddie calls the family home of the average middle-class woman the intimate prison, because the father, who's got all kinds of sins going for him, he tries to keep his wife and daughters locked up at home so they're not out on the streets at the mercy of guys like him. It's a strange but common phenomena. Oh, and by the way, about Eddie's girlfriend's skinhead brother. It was just Eddie's luck that before he actually had to break down and hire this guy, knowing nothing good was going to come of it, turns out the guy disappeared for about a week, and the next time the family heard from him was in an email message. He was up in Los Angeles again for the third time as an illegal alien. Now he was Uncle Sam's problem. Not Eddie's.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, coming to you each week from somewhere south of the border. And don't forget, you can email me on anything at all about Latin America, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Once again, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. See you next time. Nos vemos.